1. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and unto all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.' Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We sure do thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for a good Sunday school hour. Thank you for the good report of the two jail services this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the good choir singing, the good special singing. Thank you for the Bach family. Lord, we certainly pray for Brother Mark and them as they're there on the island trying to be a witness for Jesus, that God, you'd give them souls for their labor and certainly protect their family while they're abroad. Father, we do pray for Brother Rod this morning. You touch him and help him. We pray for Miss Taylor that's giving birth today, that, Lord, you'd be with her and the baby. God, we certainly do pray for those that are traveling. Maybe, Lord, somebody here is seeking. I pray today'd be the day they'd find. But, Father, we pray the sweet Holy Spirit of God would not be grieved or quenched, but allowed to do his office work. And, Father, we pray for this unworthy vessel. You'd help us today. And, God, I pray that, Lord, you'd get honor and glory from everything that's said and done. Help us, Father. We'll bless you for it. For it's in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention to a couple of things from the text, and we'll get to the thought this morning. We find in verse number 3, the arresting of Peter and John. The Bible says they'd laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Peter and John were in trouble because they had the audacity to do two things. As they was on their way into the temple, Brother Josh, there was a man there that was crippled from his birth. He was begging, asking for alms. Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee." And they said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And that man was healed that day of that infirmity. Then the second thing, Brother Ron, they went in the temple. They had the audacity to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were found in the eyes of the religion, the religious crowd, to be nothing more than criminals. But aren't you glad in the eyes of God, they were the choicest saints of God. We see their resting. I want you you to notice, if you will, the altering. Look in verse number 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Say, preacher, why do y'all still preach the Bible? Because the Bible still works. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They had heard the word of God. They heard that Jesus was crucified for their sins, that Jesus was buried, Jesus resurrected from the dead under his own power according to the scriptures. And if they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd save them and change them. And many believed and turned unto the Lord. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you don't know what life's all about. All you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved today. We see that there was some altering, there was some changing went on. 5,000 men were saved, not counting the women and children. Notice, if you will, the asking in verse number 7. Now, this whole big council of religious crowd makes a big mistake right here. They ask a question, and they ask it of the wrong fella. The Bible said in verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? They're looking for a means to catch them in something so they can try them and crucify them too. We see the asking, but notice the answering. Look in verse number 8. Then Peter never had a problem about opening his mouth. I've always identified with him. It said, then Peter, but here's the difference, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, here he goes again preaching the gospel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a blessing. He answered them with the gospel. They asked what name and what power. He told them, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice the awe of this religious council. Now, when they saw the boldness, verse 13, saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, that doesn't mean they were stupid. That just means they hadn't studied in some religious college somewhere. They perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. Look what happened. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want to preach with God's help this morning on that thought right there. The effects of being with Jesus. They took knowledge that those men had been with Jesus. I wonder when we leave here today if anybody will take knowledge that we've been with Jesus. You see, my dear friends, that if he lives in you, his light ought to come out of you. Folks ought to be able to take note that you've been with Jesus. Listen, I appreciate that you look nice, but they ought to see something beyond your clothing to know that you've been with Jesus. You say, preacher, what are the effects of being with Jesus? Well, when one's been with Jesus, there's some evidence. Can I say there? The first evident that somebody's been with Jesus is there'll be humility. The Bible says in Mark 5:22, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Mark 7:25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Luke 17:16, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Are you seeing, everybody that's ever came to Jesus, they've ended up falling at his feet. In Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, this is John the Revelator, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying anybody that comes to Jesus, anybody that's been with Jesus, there is a sense of humility. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. The world's seen enough of the pompous crowd. The world's seen enough of the proud crowd. What the world needs to see is a crowd that's been with Jesus. They're humble in spirit. They realize in whom their hope lies. My hope lies in Jesus Christ, his blood and his righteousness. It's not my works that I have done. It's not my deeds that I have done. It's not by going to church. It's not by being baptized. It's not by church membership. Those things are important, but what is most important is that you've been to Jesus, and when you've been to Jesus, it'll humble you, huh? Amen. Those who've been with Jesus, it's evidenced by humility. They realize they're not deserving of anything but damnation. But coming to Jesus, you get eternal life. That'll humble you. I bless the Lord. Not only is it evident by their humility, it's evident by their happiness. Those young people just got up here and sang, I sing because I'm happy. Huh? Phil Robertson says, happy, happy, happy. Huh? Some of you look crabby, crabby, crabby. You say, what do you need to do? You need to get to Jesus. He'll make you happy, happy, happy. Luke 24 said, verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Listen, when you realize your sins have been washed away, when you realize you have an eternal home in heaven, where you abode with God himself, when you realize that he daily loadeth you with benefits and with blessings, when you realize how good God really is, you can't help but be happy. Say, preacher, I've had a bad week, but hey, listen, this is as close to hell as you're ever going to get. We ought to be happy. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. I mean, our sins are washed away. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have eternal life. We really have read the end of the book, know what happens. Listen, we ought to be happy today. That doesn't mean that we ought to be accepting of everything that's going on in the world. There's some things going on in the world that ought to upset us. But we ought to be happy in our state in Jesus. I tell you all the time, when you leave it, just go out and smile. That is such a foreign thing today. If you're out there smiling, they think you're up to something. And sooner or later, they're going to say, what are you smiling about? Say, I'm happy. What you got to be happy about? His name is Jesus. And can I say, those that have been with Jesus, it's evident by their humility, it's evident by their happiness, but it's also evident by their hunger. Can I say, those that truly have ever been in his presence, they hunger to be in his presence again. Boy, there's just some places I can go back in my mind where the Lord showed up, and boy, I long to get there again. Just being in his presence. I'll never forget one time I was with about 16 preachers, and we was on a mountain in North Carolina and was praying. And the presence of the Lord just come on that mountain, and his presence was so real, I got to the point I was afraid to breathe. You say, what'd that do to you? It makes me hungry to get that close to him again. It creates a hunger for his presence. It also creates a hunger for his promises. When you've been with Jesus, you can't get enough of hearing about Jesus and hearing about his promises and seeing what Jesus has to say about things, huh? I just wonder about people that never hunger to hear any more about Jesus. Maybe they didn't get to know the Jesus that I got to know. Paul wrote to beware of anybody who has another gospel. Can I say there are a lot of TV evangelists, a lot of people preaching a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. Can I say it'll give a hunger for his presence and for his promises, but can I say being with Jesus will also give you a hunger to promote him? You want to tell somebody else about him. Matter of fact, that's one of the first evidences you got saved. You couldn't wait to tell somebody else about him. Huh? What a blessing to have the privilege to tell somebody about Jesus. That woman at the well, when she met him, in John 4:29, she went back into town and said, "Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this Christ?" She went and told everybody in town, "Hey, you got to come out and see it." And the Bible said many believed on him at her word. Can I say? You can't wait to tell somebody. You got a hunger to promote the Lord Jesus Christ, huh? I appreciate Brother Bach down there passing out gospel tracts, blanketing an island, huh? What a blessing to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. You get down some of those places, they've never heard about Jesus. We was in Grenada last year. We was in an area that was a total demonic area. They didn't know anything about Jesus. Say, what happened when they heard what Jesus do for them? Many of them got saved, huh? Back in June. Say, what are you going to go do? Going to go tell them about Jesus, huh? Can I say, it's evident when you've been around Jesus, there'll be humility, there'll be happiness, there'll be hunger. But it's also evident when you've been around Jesus because there'll be holiness. I know we don't like to preach on that nowadays, but the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Ephesians 4:24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Can I say God's people shouldn't look like the world, shouldn't talk like the world, shouldn't act like the world, shouldn't smell like the world? We ought to look, sound, be different because we've been to Jesus. You've heard the analogy a million times. If it has feathers, if it has a bill, if it has webbed feet, if it quacks, it's a duck. It looks like the world, sounds like the world, smells like the world, acts like the world, it's of the world. God's people ought to be different because we've been to Calvary. The Lord Jesus has changed our lives. Paul said, "Work out your own salvation." That means what God has put in you, you're to work out in your life. We should live a life striving to be holy. The Lord said, "Be holy, for I am holy." And then I thought about this. Those that have been with Jesus, it's evident because of their heart. Say, what are you talking about? Look again in verse 13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." Didn't say when they saw a cross around his neck. Didn't say when they saw a pocket full of gospel tracts in his pocket. No, there was something that was in them that they didn't often see. They saw boldness and courage. They saw their heart. They knew they'd been with Jesus because of their heart. These men had a confidence that most people standing before this assembly wouldn't have. They weren't pleading for mercy or pleading for their lives. They spoke with boldness and proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:12, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." Philippians 1:20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." My dear friends, what separates great people from ordinary people is their heart. The great people that helped shape our nation were not extraordinary individuals. They just had a heart for what they strive to do. Amen. The great soldiers that have won battles and secured our freedoms were not supermen. They just decorated soldiers in American history. He's a fellow that was real small. His name was Audie Murphy. He actually signed up before he was of age. He lied about his age. He was small. But you never measure a man by his stature. He had a lot of heart. And can I say, the greatest Christians are not those whose names are in lights. It's people who have a heart for God. And they stand up and proclaim the message of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever the Lord grants them an opportunity. You know what will cause people to know we win with Jesus? We just stand up and are counted. I'm one of His. Now I wonder this morning, have you ever been to Jesus? Are you here today and you can proclaim that, yes, I have been saved by the good grace of God. I met the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can say that, friend, you've said it all. But if you're here today and you've never truly met the Lord, you may go to church, you may be religious, but you don't know the Lord. You don't have a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When people around you, they don't take note you've been with Jesus because you've never been there. Friend, today could be the day of your salvation. Today, you can meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save you and change your life. Say, how do you know that? Because He's been doing it for 2,000 years. He did it in verse number 4, and He's been doing it ever since. There's been many in here this morning that could testify the Lord Jesus Christ saved them and changed their life. If you're here today and you're saved, how long has it been since you've been with Jesus? How long has it been since somebody you didn't know come up and said, you're a Christian, aren't you? Because they can just tell you, you've been with Jesus. Maybe it's been a while. And you just need to come spend some time with Him. So when you leave this place, folks will take note. You've been with Jesus. See, Jesus affects us in a lot of ways. I can always tell when I start getting cold, it's because I haven't been with Jesus, Brother Bob. Sometimes we can be like Martha. We can be serving and being busy, but we've not been with Jesus. Huh? Martha got mad at Mary. What was Mary doing? She spent time with Jesus. And Jesus told Martha to let her alone. And can I say, sometimes we get so busy being a Christian, we don't take time to be with Christ. God help us to spend time with Jesus so the world out there will know we've been with Jesus. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. That's a big fancy word for this. If you don't know Jesus, we invite you to come. Say, preacher, I don't know how to be saved. If you don't know how to be saved, we'll get somebody to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You can be saved today. Can I say it's easy to be saved? All you need to know in order to be saved is know you need to get saved. You need to know you're lost. And the Lord can save you today. If you'll come, you can meet the Master. And I'm not going to browbeat you, and I'm not going to try to put any pressure on you, but I am going to invite you. If you'll come, we'd love to introduce you to the Lord. If you're here today and you're saved, but it's been a while since you've really been with Jesus, we invite you to come spend a little time with Him. So when you leave this place, folks will take note you've been with Jesus. Friend, nothing else really matters. What's going on in this world doesn't really matter. All that matters is whether or not we've been with Jesus. So let's all stand. Brother Clint, you come, get a song of invitation. While they're coming, picking out a song, folks are already coming to the altar. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we bless you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the promises we have in Christ. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, if there be any in our midst today that have never been to Jesus, they've never been saved, I pray they wouldn't hesitate, they wouldn't put it off. They realize their need of salvation, they'd come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know you said in the Word of God, if any would come to you, you'd no wise cast them out. We know you'd receive them with gladness. We know there'd be joy in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repenteth. Lord, we pray, God forbid anybody like that now, that the sweet Holy Spirit of God through cords of love would begin to tug at their heartstrings and draw them to Christ. God, we pray for your children, those that have been to Jesus. Maybe it's been a while since they've spent time with you. Lord, maybe they've allowed pride to well up in their life, or maybe, Lord, they've not lived as holy as they should, or maybe their happiness is weaned because the joy of the Lord's our strength and they just haven't been spending the time with you they should. Lord, I pray they'd come and, Lord, they'd spend time with Jesus. Bless now this invitation. God, glorify your name. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you struggle to find good Bible-based resources to supplement your personal devotions? If so, head on over to ibcflorence.com today and click on Bookstore, where we have a ton of resources. And as always, thanks for listening.